Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message tonight is Hindrances to Freedom or Healing. We're going to talk about some of the hindrances to getting free of sin and some of the hindrances to receiving healing in your body. I want to talk about freedom from sin because when I first got into the walk, I had no idea, y'all, how to get free of all the sin that I was in. I was in a lot of sin. I was a full-time sinner when God saved me. I mean, full-time. And I didn't care who knew it. I just didn't care. I had no reason to care. When you're not saved, you don't care. And I did not encounter any teaching that really addressed, hey, this is how you lay that sin down. And for many years, there were some sins I didn't lay down. Whether it was lack of pressing in on my part or just not understanding why, you know, how to do it and why I should and all that. Even when people talk about laying down sin, you know, what you see in your mind is, oh, I have to give this up. You know, what am I going to do instead? Or how am I going to, you know, live my life without that sin? Nobody ever talks much about what you get instead. I want to talk about that just for a second because I've gone through that process with many different sins. And what you get instead, every time you lay a sin down, is you get closer to the Lord, because every sin in your life puts up a barrier between you and Him. It puts up a wall between you and God. So let's say that you have 20 sins that you do all the time. That's like having 20 walls between you and Him. So is it any wonder that you cannot hear Him clearly if there's that many walls in between you and Him? So that alone is reason to lay the sins down. Because we want to be able to hear Him. He's our God. He's our Savior, right? But also, because in the times we're living in and what we're walking into, you better be able to hear Him, okay? So one of the things to do if you don't hear Him well is search your life and search your heart for sin that you have not given up, okay? So one of the things you get, probably the major benefit that you get, is you get closer to Him and you can hear Him better. Another thing you get is every time you lay a sin down, you get more peace. And it is a wonderful thing to walk in peace all the time. It is the most awesome feeling, y'all, to just, you just have this calm, peaceful feeling all the time. And whatever's going on, you can still stay calm in the midst of it because you have His peace. You get a great deal of freedom when you lay down sins, because many sins are tormenting spirits. Have you ever thought about that? And some of them are bring fretting spirits that make you anxious and make you stressed all the time. And then when you lay that sin down, then you realize how much of that actually came with that sin. Sins tend to be repetitive. So they're habits, right? So when you get free of a sin, you don't have that habit anymore. So that frees up some of your time. It frees up some of your mental energy and you have more peace. And now you're closer to God and you can hear the Lord better. So there's a lot of benefit to giving up sin. There's a tremendous benefit to giving up as much sin as you can possibly find in your life to give up. Okay, how to lay down sin. A lot of people think that when you decide to lay a sin down, that you just say a prayer and God takes it away just like that. Let me tell you from much experience, it is not that simple. We fight against sin with our weapons of warfare, which are in Ephesians chapter 6, which are, let me read them to you, starting in verse 11. The whole armor of God, okay, with which you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's the wile of the devil? It's him tempting you to sin and drawing you into all things, kind of things you shouldn't be into. And verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so we don't fight against other people, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? So it tells us to put the armor on, having our loins girt about with truth. That's the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. That's our righteousness with him. The truth is his word. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's, I believe, our preparation to walk in peace towards all men. The shield of faith, with wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. To me, the shield of faith is, that's what I raise when the devil comes at me saying, that's never going to work, blah, 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 you know, and just running his mouth. He's always talking smack, you know, he always is. Then you raise up your shield of the faith and you just say, oh, well, my Bible says this, devil, so you're just out of luck. And the helmet of salvation, that's the assuredness of your salvation. You know you're saved because you believe in Jesus. You believe he is the only begotten Son of God who died for our sins, who was raised again on the third day, and he was the propitiation for our sins. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, the girdle of truth to me is also the word of God because it is truth. His word is the truth. Okay, and the last weapon is prayer. The fight against any sin can be won with those weapons and 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now get this next part. After that ye have suffered a while. Does that sound like instant deliverance? No, it doesn't. Make you perfect. Establish. That means establish. Strengthen. Settle you. Now to me, this scripture means, after you have suffered a while, that means, okay, I'm going to suffer a little while I'm laying down a sin. Okay, if you tell me I got to give up donuts, just for an example, okay, I'm going to miss the donuts for a while, okay? I'm going to want donuts, and I'm going to have to tell myself no to the donuts. Okay, I don't eat. Y'all, the closest donut shop to me is 30 minutes away, but I'm just using that for an example. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, okay? He's perfecting us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He perfects us a little at a time and changes us into his glorious image if we press in. Make you perfect, establish. So he establishes our freedom, okay? He locks it in. He strengthens us against that sin. The more we stand against it, the stronger we are against it. Every time you say yes, the sin is stronger against you. Every time you say no, you are stronger against the sin. And he settles you. That means he calms you down in the process, okay? He gives you peace. Okay, so that's how you win the fight against any sin. 1 Peter 5:10, and use the weapons of your warfare. Okay, now, let's talk about hindrances to healing. Y'all know I've been through some of this. People who pray for other people to be healed will often tell you that a lot of people don't get healed and they can't tell you why. I don't know for sure why, okay? But I think there are three things that you can check if you go to cast a demonic illness out and it don't go and that sort of thing, okay? The number one is the demons have a legal right and you got to find what the right is. Now that's in any deliverance, whether it's an illness or it's something else. Not all illness is demonic. Number two, the problem you are addressing is not demonic. Okay, if it's not demonic, if it's not a demon, it won't go when you try to cast it out. Many times illnesses are caused by people abusing their body. Drug use, years of unhealthy eating, etc. Number three, you're not saved. And so you don't have the right to cast anything out in the name of Jesus. You have to be saved to use the name of Jesus, or you'll end up like the seven sons of Sceva, who tried to cast out, according to the Jesus that Paul preached. Okay, when you lay hands on someone and pray for healing and the person does not get healed, think about this. There are at least three types of sicknesses. One, the kind you cause yourself by abusing your body. Number two, demonically influenced illness. Okay, that's where a demon has come in, or demons, and have caused an illness. Many well-known preachers say that cancer is absolutely a demon. They have looked at x-rays and they say it has a face. I can't say one way or the other because I don't know. I don't have any experience with cancer that way. Number three, sickness that comes in under a curse. because you have rebelled against God in some area. One example of this would be sexual sin that brings disease, a disease that is incurable. All sexual sin is rebellion against God. Actually, all sin is rebellion against God in some form. So, three things to look at if you pray for somebody to get healed, or if you're praying for yourself to get healed and it's not happening, is did you bring the sickness on yourself through abuse of your body? Number two, is the sickness actually demonically caused? And number three, is it possible there's rebellion and therefore some type of curse has come in? In which case, the curse must be broken first, because you can't make the demons leave until the curse is broken, if there is a curse, because the curse is the doorway. It's their legal right. And number four, another thing that you will see is you're praying for somebody and they're saying they're healed, and then they go home and they're claiming their illness again. They're on their phone talking to Aunt Bessie and telling her, yeah, I got, you know, diagnosed with blah, blah, I have this. As soon as they claim it again, that throws the door open for the demons to come back in and cause the illness, okay? Your words can override any healing if your words are contrary to the promise of God's healing power, okay? You're either healed or you're not healed. Get your words on one side or the other, because they can't ride the fence. Okay, another thing to think about. Did the Lord speak to you to give something up? Did he say, okay, if you'll give this up, then I'll, you know, you'll, your healing will manifest? Did he do that? Okay. Sometimes the Lord will ask us to give something up in exchange for something else, some type of blessing. Okay. Let's say you give it up and he fulfills his end of the deal, because he always does. Later, you go back to your sin, but you only do it one time. What happens? Let me tell you a story. I don't think I've ever told y'all this before. Back in 1997, I was working a job in South Louisiana. I'd been saved for a year and a half, maybe. No, not even a year and a half, just over a year. The Lord spoke to me one night that he wanted me to give up smoking cigarettes. I used to smoke a pack and a half a day, y'all. Did that for years. And I had been praying for weeks that he would make my voice able to carry a tune. I sang horribly off key, and it was embarrassing in church because people turn around and look at me like, my gosh, shut up, you know. I told him if he would make me able to carry a tune, that I would sing every Sunday in church for him. And I was just begging him, please, you know, just make me able to carry a tune so I don't embarrass everybody, embarrass myself. So one night, he spoke to me, and I was fixing to get in bed with my Bible and a cup of coffee and a cigarette. True story. This is late at night, like 9:30. This was how I relaxed at night. And he pointed at the cigarettes, like, I want you to give those up. And I knew exactly what he was saying. There was no doubt whatsoever. And I did not want to give up smoking, y'all. I liked smoking cigarettes. I worked as a manager on that seismic job out in the swamps, and I was the only female. I think I was the only female on the whole job on that one, too. And I felt like I needed to smoke to keep my stress level down, okay? But I loved the Lord more than I loved smoking. So I did what he said. Piled all my stuff up. I told the story in the Wilderness Companion. The next year, that job had ended, and I was back in Oklahoma attending a tiny little one-room church in Sayre, America. And some other women at the church wanted to form a small singing group, and they wanted me to be in it. And I'm like, yeah, I can't sing. And one day, one of them pushed a microphone into my hand, and I tried, and I found out I could carry a tune. I had never checked before that because I was busy working all the time. So I was over the moon with joy. I was so excited. And we all began singing every Sunday for the church. Months later, stress happened. I mean, bad, bad stress. I had two family members that were diagnosed terminally ill within like a month. I had a relationship breakup. I had money problems. I couldn't pay my rent. I mean, all this stuff happened. And somebody loaned me a cigarette. I said, give me a cigarette. Somebody had a cigarette, and I borrowed it. And I just puffed a couple of puffs on it. And then I was like, it tastes horrible, and threw it away. A few months later, I moved to Dallas. I was no longer attending the church where I sang. I was working every hour that my boss would give me because I was in the first wilderness. It was years, many years, before I realized what that one part of a cigarette had cost me. I could no longer carry a tune. That ability has never returned, ever. So the answer to what happens if you do that sin one time after that is, one time counts. Y'all have heard me say before that just this once won't hurt from the devil is a lie. He'll tell you, oh, just this once won't hurt. He won't, you know, God won't mind. Look at all the stuff you do at the church or what, you know, he'll just make up some lie to tell you to get you to do it one time because he knows that once does count. He knows that. He knows that when you open that door one time to that sin, those demons can come right back in. He knows that. That's why he lies about that. One time does count. Everything reverts to how it was before you made that agreement with God and laid down that sin because you broke your part of the deal. Okay? God's merciful, but he still expects you to keep your part of the bargain. Looking back now, I think, wow, I should have known that. But I was very new in the walk then. I was trying to learn who God was. I wasn't even 2 years into my walk, and I did not realize what that would cost me. And I share this in the hope that some of you will not make a similar mistake and lose something you really treasured like I did. I had never been able to sing and carry a tune my whole life, and I was only able to for part of that one summer. It's the only time in my life I've been able to carry a tune. God has been exceptionally merciful to me, y'all. I have received so much mercy that I never deserved, and I appreciate every single bit of it, and I definitely do not take it for granted. I have messed up many, many times. But all you can do when you mess up is repent. Truly repent and ask forgiveness and then stop doing it, whatever you're doing, and try to do better. A lot of the key to giving up sin is you just need to fall in love with Jesus. The Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's a simple statement, but it's a real big statement if you think about it. So it stands to reason, I think, if we are not keeping his commandments, we must not love him enough. What do y'all think? To love him, you need to get to know him, and you do that by studying his word, by reading it all the time, by listening to it. Jesus was the word made flesh, so Jesus is the word. Okay, and something else I thought of that really kind of does and kind of doesn't have to do with this. Another thing I want to remind y'all about because I haven't talked about this in a long time. And there's a lot of new people that listen to me now that have never heard this. Whatever situation you find yourself in, no matter how desperate the problem is, if you need an answer, if you need the Lord to intervene for you, to send you to provision or to heal you or whatever you need, go into worship and have your heart in worship with you. Don't be sitting there thinking, okay, how long do I have to do this before he gives me an answer? That is not worship. That's trying to earn something. That is not worship. Worship is when you're completely in it, okay? Body, mind, and spirit, you're completely in it. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So you really have to be worshiping him, okay? Sing to him. Play your favorite worship songs and just sing to him. Pour out your heart to him. But instead of asking him for anything, just love on him. The results are nothing short of miraculous in you and in your life. What he wants most of all from us is the same thing we want from our children. We want their love. He wants ours. Yes, he wants our obedience. But most of all, he wants us to love him. Love him for who he is, not what he gives us, not what he does for us. And I think a lot of times we are so busy because we're busy. You know, people are busier now than they've ever been before. You would think with so much technology, we would be less busy, but we are actually more busy because it increases our productivity. So we expect more. And our bosses expect more if we have bosses. I think we are so busy asking him for stuff that we forget to just love him. That is what worship is for. You can find lots of worship and praise playlist on YouTube. Songs about the blood of Jesus are good too. That's all I have for y'all tonight. I hope this is a help to you. I just wanted to give you something practical that you could use. I like to teach y'all things that are practical that you can apply in your life because when I first got into this walk, it was hard to find practical teaching, practical application of scripture. Okay, the Bible says that, but how do I do that? You know? And that's what I try so hard to teach y'all is how do you apply the Bible to your life? How do you live in that word? So I hope this has been helpful to you. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com. Available in print version, Kindle version, and new audiobook. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com.